Our scripture reading today is from the letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians, Philippians chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 12. Philippians 2, beginning at verse 12. My dear friends, as you have already obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. My friends, people like to fit in. I think that's true. And if people are going to be noticed, they want to be noticed for something that's exceptional about them or very, very positive. It'd be nice to be known as a really good-looking person, or to be known as somebody who's exceptionally funny, or somebody who has lots of money, or someone who's smarter than the average bear. No one is happy when they are noticed or commented on for things that are deemed less positive. I have a friend, a very dear friend, who I think is a lovely person, and she always complains about her hair. She says it's mousy, and it's lovely blonde. Like, I don't know what she's talking about, but she feels that her hair is somehow a negative. People don't want to be noticed or commented on because of their weight, because you're so skinny, or because you're carrying too many pounds. No one wants to be commented on for that. We live in a car culture. We'd like to have a nice car, and you don't want to be the one that people say, look at that old bucket of bolts that he's driving. What an embarrassment. You don't want that to be you. You wear clothes that are out of style. It's like somebody nowadays wearing, when I was a teenager, we wore wide leg jeans. Do you remember that? With acres of fabric flapping around as we walked. It was cool. You saw that now? You'd laugh and say, that looks absolutely ridiculous. Nobody wants to be ridiculous. And so, because of that, we work really hard at trying to fit in, to be the one that is not commented on because of their weight or their fashion choices or their physical properties. Actually, people do a lot, will do almost anything to avoid being commented on like that. The diet industry and what people do to themselves to try to sculpt their bodies to that perceived perfect form is incredible. I've heard that people will undergo surgery to correct their noses or their butts or whatever part of their body that they deem somehow inadequate. People go out and they take huge car loans that they can barely afford so they can drive in something that raises their self-esteem and maybe their respect in the eyes of people that they want to impress. How many people don't have credit cards that are totally maxed out because they're trying so hard to appear to be richer than they are? And eventually it catches up and there's a crash and there's trouble. To many people, one of the weirdest things that you can do is to be a Bible-believing, Christ-confessing Christian. To many people, that is just so strange. Can you hear people saying, "You do what? Every Sunday morning, you get up and you get all washed up and you put on some decent clothes and you come and you sit in a church and you have some guy you yak at you for a while? Like, how crazy is that? You know what you could be doing? You could be sleeping in. You could be hitting the golf course. Why would you waste your time going to church? You do what? That you write checks for the maintenance and ministry of the church, and you're generous to causes of missions and all these things? You know, that's really, really quite crazy, because you don't have to do that, you know. You can keep your money and you can use it to go on a really cool vacation, or you can buy things that you want. Why in the world would you give money to the church? That's weird. You do what? You say that your number one priority in life is Jesus? That the most important thing to you is the kingdom of God? Have you ever actually seen Jesus? Have you seen any evidence of God? Well, I know I haven't. All that I can see is the things that I can see. And for you to say that and to have that as a priority means, sorry to tell you, it means you're pretty weird. We do look funny. And I'll fill you in on a little secret. Listen, Christians are weird. They're absolutely right. According to the standards of the world and according to secular culture, there is nothing stranger than a person who says that they're a Christian and actually lives that life and walks that walk and guides himself or herself by the dictates of that faith. We, as Christians, we do weird things. We go to church. That's weird. We do fold our hands and lift our minds and our eyes up to the heavens, and we pray to somebody we can't see. What we do is we do give our money away, so that this one that we can't see is known by more people. And I know that Christians are a remarkably generous people. What do? We love our neighbors. We love them as we love ourselves, at least that's what we try to do. We care about others. And in this world, in this society, that's really weird. Because what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to be taking care of yourself. You're supposed to be looking out for yourself. And if somebody falls to the wayside so that you can advance, well, that's what you do. If somebody needs money and you've got it, well, too bad for them, really. Because you're supposed to keep it for yourself. Your time is your own. You can do with it what you want. So why would you spend time coming to church or participating in the work and the activities and the ministry of a thing like this? It's weird. We say weird things. We say Jesus is Lord. We say the more responsibility, the more honors that I am given, allow me to be a servant to more people. What? No, the higher you get, the more people serve you. Except unless you're a Christian, and then you say, the highest is the servant of all. We say that. We say my citizenship, even though we're proud to be Canadians and grateful for our country and all that, we say funny things like our ultimate citizenship, our most valuable citizenship is in the kingdom of God. That's pretty weird. We're weird, and we are supposed to be. It is our calling to be weird. Now, throughout this series of messages that we've been going through, and this is the final one, we've looked at the different things that are necessary for people in the community of the church to be long-term disciples. So what has to be in place to help people to run the race to the end of the race, to not fall away, to not drop off, to not give up, to not just fade off? And we saw that there were a few things. One is, we said, if you look back, go back a few weeks, that people need to have a transformative experience and relationship with Christ, with Jesus. They need to know Jesus, and they need to be committed to Him. We said that people should understand the culture that they're in so that they can understand it and critique it and evaluate it accurately. We talked about the importance of relationships, that a strong, enduring disciple is someone who will have relationships within the fellowship of the church that is intergenerational, so that the strong, the young and the old are blessing each other and encouraging each other. And together we walk this path of Christian discipleship. And then this was last week, we talked about how the way that we spend our days, the vocation that we have, our jobs and our schools need to be places where we understand that the gospel applies to them and that we are the agents of God working in that context. Not that we're preaching all the time, but that we're not ashamed and that we act in ways that are pleasing to God in the working out of our profession. Well, now we're seeing that we should understand ourselves not only to be people with a mission, but that we understand the fact that we are countercultural missionaries in our own society. We need to be clear about the nature of Christian people and the nature of the Christian community. That it is not supposed to fit in. It's not supposed to become as bland as the world is, but is to stick out. It is to be different. Christian people are countercultural. The church is countercultural, and the gospel itself is countercultural. I think this is where we really need to learn, and we really need to examine. Because far too often, we have adopted the values of our culture and not examined it in terms of what the gospel's call is to us. And we have often, too often, become indistinguishable from the world that's around us. And that leads to this important question. If we are really no different from the world around us, if we're no different than the people that we work with or go to school with or live on the street with that don't know Jesus, if we're no different from them, why in the world would our youth or our guests want to continue in this? It is a sacrifice to be part of the church. And no one sacrifices for no good reason. So we have to understand, and we need to teach and show that there is a difference here. I mean, we ask people to give up their time and their energy and their finances and their behavior. We need to be transformed. We have to model this. We need to teach it. We need to help long-term disciples know God, to know their mission, to be straight shooters in a crooked world. So I would just say to you, be brave in your faith. Take risks for the kingdom. Risks that will make you stand out, but it's for God. Be prepared. Maintain your purity, for when you stumble, the perception of the world is that the whole church has stumbled. Love, work together, and make a difference. It is God's grace to us that we have been changed into something that is not of this world. Let us be united in supporting, training, growing, and testifying to the grace of God in Christ that makes us so wonderfully different with a message to share. Amen.